a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Boland.
Here.
Bruner.
Here.
Elliott.
Here.
Fargan.
Here.
Hamill.
Here.
Hunt. Killer. Olson.
Here.
Schleckaway.
Here.
Sly.
Here.
Sorensen.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Vanneman. Van Gerpen.
Here.
McLaughlin.
Here.
Quorum present.
Vanneman is excused. Yeah.
Okay.
Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Moved by Representative Olson, seconded by Representative Sly. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are approved. I don't know that we have too many testifying, but I will remind you that if you are going to testify, be sure you have your badges on and sign in a legible manner. Handouts will be distributed by our pages here, and at this time I'd like to ask them to come forward and introduce themselves. If you will both take an opportunity, we'll catch you before you leave, and Molly, do you want to introduce yourself?
Good morning. My name is Molly Webster, and I go to Rapid City Stevens.
Welcome, Molly.
Good morning. I'm Kayla Wiskus, and I go to Garrettson High School.
Welcome, both of you. We only have two bills here today. They're both department bills. They've passed the Senate by sizable margins, and so I don't know that we're going to necessarily consume the entire scheduled hours here allotted for this today, but. We are getting a few more bills in. We have not had that many, very frankly, at this point, but I think there's a few in the process. So we will need to gear up and move right along when we receive those bills. We'll try to keep you posted on the bills that have been dropped so that you can plan accordingly. There are some significant ones coming, so you may want to look at Senator Knutson's bill on the education. Study that over ahead of time, and so that you be prepared for your questions and discussion on those. With that, we'll open the meeting here with Senate Bill 23. And Senate Bill 23 is to eliminate the two-year delay of certain rule changes that increase teacher certification fees. This is being introduced by the at the request of the Department of Education, and welcome Melanie.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Melody Schopp, Department of Education. I'll talk slow this morning so I can take up some of your valuable time since you don't have much to do. Let me explain the preface of Senate Bill 23. If you look at the bill itself, in 1342-4, the current law requires that any time that there's an increase in teacher requirements, and this can be any specific thing such as, I'm going to give you some examples. If we increase the requirement that teachers have to take additional courses, there's a two-year delayed implementation, which makes sense. So if we require that they do, when human relations and Indian studies was added, for instance, we gave teachers in the universities 2 years to ramp up to add that requirement before we made them renew. So there's this delayed implementation. If you look through the current law in 1342-4, it talks about that at the very end where it says that pursuant to 1342-3, when an applicant for the teacher certificate is required to meet, shall be preceded by at least 2 years of notice before the effective date. So we followed that, and that makes it really helps us to be able to implement those changes in the department as well as for teachers to let them be aware of that as well. However, what we've found in the last year, we took before the board to increase teacher certification fees. And as a result of that, we increased them at the statutory 5% maximum. And however, we were not able to implement that until 2011. I am going to give you a little bit of background about what those teacher fees are used for. And Paige, if you want to just hand these out. These go into a fund. It's called the Institute Fund. And the fees that we've, a couple years ago, we brought a bill before the legislature to expand the authority of the Institute Fund. It was very narrow in scope. So some years ago, the Institute Fund was used primarily and only for publishing of bulletins and publications and so forth, which was appropriate at that time. So in the last few years, we've expanded the use of the fund, and we've been using it within the department to offset some general fund costs within the Office of Accreditation and Teacher Certification. So we feel like we're making better use of that fund over time. And so you can see the uses, and I'm just passing out the other supporting statute that explains what that fund is used for. When we increased the fees 2 years ago, or in 2009, excuse me, we are not able to access the increase in the teacher certification fee then until the 2011, and will go into effect. So what this bill is requesting to do, that we would remain or keep the delayed implementation for all rules for teacher increases and requirements, with the exception of the certification fee. So that would allow us to make better use of that fund that we have, that we are currently using, that's in front of you right there. Just as a little bit of background, we have some of the lowest certification fees in the nation. I did do the counterparts throughout the United States. I did a poll to find out, and there is something called NASDAQ. And South Dakota is one of the lowest fees within the entire United States. Our one-year fee is $15. Remember, that's for 1 year. 2 years is 20. Our five-year, which is the common one, teachers renew their certificates every 5 years, and a lot of you have done that over time, is $30. And then recently, in the last few years, we put into effect a 10-year certificate, which is $50, which allows people a 10-year span of time. So when we increased the fees in 2009, effective July 1, 2011, the fees will then go up that 5%. So it'll be $18 for the one, $24 for the two, $36 for the 5 year, and $60 for the 10 year. If we were to do that again in 2011, once again, we'd have to wait the 2 years before we could make those fees effective, which, again, we're trying to use that institute fund more effectively within the department to offset general fund costs, and trying to be make wise use of that fund as well. For your information, that we don't have any plans in the near future, again, to up those costs, but should that happen, we would like to have that flexibility to do so. So with that, I stand by for questions.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents? Proponents for House or Senate Bill 23. Are there any opponents? Any opponents? Senate Bill 23. Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close that phase of the discussion and go into questions from the committee. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Ms. Schopp, you mentioned that our fees are among the lowest in the nation. Can you tell us specifically where we rank?
There is, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, there is another state that is at the $30 range for a fee, they have a two-year fee, and that is in, I think it was Mississippi or Arkansas. As a comparison, just in our neighboring states, North Dakota's fee is $120 for their regular initial certification. Minnesota runs between, and they all have different, there's not another state that's not like the 5 and the 10. They're all a little bit different. Minnesota's within the $100 range. It just depends. They vary across the board quite significantly.
Follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there a direct correlation between our ranking in terms of fees and our teacher salaries?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know. There wasn't a direct correlation. I mean, if I was to go down and rate, highest to lowest, that's relative. Again, remember that we have already increased the fee. So the fee has gone up that 5%. We're not asking to increase fees again. That's already been done. It's been passed by the Board of Education. What we're asking is, if we increase it in the future, that we have the authority to be able to expend that, to make that implementation sooner than wait the 2 years delayed implementation that we have. So the fees have been increased. I'm not asking for an increase in that, just the authority to be able to do that sooner than the 2 year delayed implementation.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Van Gerpen.
Ms. Schopp, just one quick question. Do you know offhand how many certifications your office does annually?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, there's sort of a In the five-year period, we find that there's sort of a peak and a downfall. The highest that we've done, I think last year was 4265 is what it was. The typical year is between 35 and 3800. So,
any other questions? Representative Sorensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In these times of tight budgets, I know that there's a move in ag, too. We increase fees of farmers who maybe were selling oats certification for their grains and so forth they might be selling. We want to have increase in fees go back to the people that it benefits. And my question is this. Looking at the list of some things that the teacher certification fees are used for, I have no problem with those that are used directly to benefit the teacher being able to be certified. It just looks to me like some of the things that the teacher certification fee is used for are just run-of-the-mill things inside the Department of Education. Am I incorrect on that?
Mr. Chairman, if you look at some of the specific things, I'm just going to go back through them again. It's the publishing bulletins. Let me give you one example. We publish a newspaper that goes out to teachers a couple times a year. This very specific, it's called the Zebra. I don't know if any of you have seen that. Yep. Anything that has to do with, you see that there's anything for teacher training or some of those activities and the retention of teachers. So we've expanded the authority there. Accreditation, while you might not think that's directly correlated, but it really is correlated to the work that we do within the schools to support, to make sure that the schools are properly supported and are meeting the standards. So I really feel that all of those activities, whether or not it's a direct service to the teacher themselves, are supporting the structure of the school and feel that we're doing what we can with that fund to manage the general funds within the office to make sure that happens.
Thank you. And maybe follow up?
Surely.
And I thank you for that answer, because I, too, recognize that even though these fees are amongst the lowest in the nation, you know very well, and most people in this room know very well, the low investment we put into our teachers in our state. And it's just we have to look for every dollar, every dime we can for our teachers, and that's the only reason I asked that question. Thank you.
You may.
Any other one? Representative Fargan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess right here you're talking about, you know, obviously we're getting rid of the two-year notice. What would be the notice then? Would it be 1 year? Would it be 2 months? I guess I'm kind of, yeah, I just want to throw this fee on top of it without actually make sure you notify people.
Right. Mr. Chairman, normally when a rule is put into place, it typically has the July 1 implementation date. So what we would make sure is that if we were to increase fees, for instance, the one that's going to go into effect is July 1, 2011. So let's say that in another year we decide to increase the fees again. We usually give that, if it's done early in the year, it's given. It's not just within a month. The process itself takes at least 6 months. And so we would make sure that we have enough time to notify them. And again, remember that not every teacher renews every year. So, you know, there's going to be that one group that's always going to be caught in between. But people have that five-year renewal period or 10-year renewal period. So that does give us a little bit of time somebody's going to be caught in the middle. So,
Representative Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have even an approximate amount of what is in this institute fund balance?
Yes, I do. Mr. Chairman, currently we have $567,000 in that fund, and we had built up a fund balance prior to when we changed the law a few years ago, because we were not able to use it for other purposes. It was so specific a few years ago. All that was in the law, we could use it for publishing and bulletins, and so you'll see that it was changed back in 2007, and we've been able to access that fund, and we're trying to use it, better use the funds within the department itself to offset general funds.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you say then that that $500,000 that's in that fund has come from the amount of money that teachers have paid in for certificates over the years?
Mr. Chairman, it's all that is the only use of that fund. The institute funds collects the teacher certification fees. That's correct.
Representative Sly, and then Sleckaway.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, is there a specific use that you are thinking that you'll be using this $500,000 for, or why is there the urgency to change this now to 1 year rather than, or July 1st, rather than waiting until the time? Are you looking for some specific use that you need it?
Mr. Chairman, we are now using that fund to better offset the costs within the office. So we're using it accreditation for schools, travel related to supporting the schools in that, other teacher-related training things that we've always had to dip into general funds outside of that source. We're now trying to use those general funds, being able to access them. So the change itself is sort of related and not related, but that will give us down the road as we start to ramp up the use of that funds to offset costs within the specific Office for Certification and Accreditation that we can better use that. So yes, we are aggressively looking how we can build it into the budget to support the activities of that office.
Follow up. Representative Schleckaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mrs. Schopp, is there the words that caught my attention was the publishing of bulletins out of this institute fund. And for the reason we talked about last week with the movement of online, is there opportunities for not doing that within this fund and maybe moving to an online system which would free up money elsewhere?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
We actually are doing that. We're doing two things to address that. We have what's been interesting is when we were determining what to do to better serve teachers themselves, we have two different types of publications, the same thing. It's called the Zebra. So we have two hard copy Zebras. It's a newspaper that goes out. Teachers still like that they get that. But we have an online that goes out. It's about every other week. So we do have an online publication that's sent out to them. So we've tried to meld the two, and eventually I'm sure we'll all go online. We still like to be able to give them that hard copy where we can give news and updates and pictures of different things that have happened. So we have moved that direction. We're just slowly weaning ourselves. Previously, that's all it was. And so our hands were so tied with the use of that fund. It had built up a fund balance. We weren't using it appropriately. And we're really trying to make a better use of those funds, expanding the authority.
Representative Hamill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a sizable fund balance. Is that an average fund balance?
I can give you the fund balance. Let me give you an example of what we've used within the last 6 months, Mr. Chairman. And this might help you to get some idea. On June 30th, as of last year, we had in $618,000. So within the past 6 months, if that's about 6-7 months, I believe that is, we have expended about $40,000, $45,000 that we have, as we're making better use of those funds. So you can see that we're trying to expand that. So that has been at that amount, and we're really trying to make better use of the fund. And Tammy might be able to help me better with that.
Follow up?
Yes. The reason that, with such a sizable balance, I was just wondering what kind of return you get on that fund, or are you able to get a return on it?
Tammy.
Are you required not to get a return on it?
The financial lady is appearing.
Thank you.
I think you're entering into my realm of this. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Good morning. I'm
Tammy Darnell with the Department of Education. On that fund, we do not earn interest on it. The interest would flow into the general fund for that. We don't keep that as a separate fund.
Any other follow-up?
Well, what is that return?
I'm not sure. I would have to go back and look. Each year, BFM presents to appropriations what the return is, and they calculate it. I don't have that information with me.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Aren't these funds in the cash flow fund, which they earn a money market interest, according to Matt Clark?
Right, correct.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification question. Any other questions by the committee? Hearing none, we'll move into the discussion and or action phase. Chair will entertain any discussion or action. Representative Hamill.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask for a due pass on this bill.
Moved by Representative Hamill, seconded by Representative Olson. Representative Hamill, any comments?
Oh, I think we've dissected this bill. It doesn't seem to be any reason why we shouldn't pass it. It would work to the advantage of the department, so it's probably an idea worth supporting.
Any other discussion or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I'm kind of a rookie at this, but I'm shocked that there's $500,000, $500,000, sitting in a fund that's been that I've paid some money into, and that we want to increase fees in the future for teacher certification. I can't believe that. And I'm not saying that there's some kind of a conspiracy here or anything, but I'm absolutely shocked that $500,000 in state funds is now used for other purposes beyond certification. I've read the Zebra, and it's a good publication and all these things, but that just doesn't strike me as the way things ought to be. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comment? Representative Sorensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I sure echo the sentiments of the previous speaker. It looks to me like we have a large sum of money here that is available, and, oh, let's go look for new uses for it. Now, and I can't say that I'm convinced that every use goes directly back to the teacher. And I wish we had an opportunity to vote yes or no on the raise, but we do not. But I will certainly vote no, because I don't see why we should even rush it earlier when there's all that money in there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments? Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think that that's kind of beside the point of this bill. I would encourage members that are shocked by this to there's still plenty of time to write up a bill and present it, and obviously we have time on our calendar to hear them. might make excellent conversation for another day, but I just encourage passage of this bill. It just seems like it does streamline things a little bit and probably proper legislation.
Any other comments? Hearing none, the motion on the floor is for due pass. All those in favor will say aye, and those opposed, no. The secretary will call the roll.
Boland?
No.
Bruner?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Bargan?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hunt?
He's... Okay. No.
Killer?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Fleckaway?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Sorensen?
No.
Thompson?
No.
Bannerman excused. Van Gerpen?
Aye.
McLaughlin?
Aye.
9 ayes, 4 nays, and 1 excused.
9-4, due pass is, the bill is passed. And for carrying it on the floor, who would like to carry it on the floor? Representative Hamill, would you be willing to do that for the Republicans on the Democratic caucus? Looking for a volunteer to at least discuss it with the Democratic caucus. Representative Fargan, would you be willing to do that? And Representative Boland?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will say that I am going to aggressively as possible work to defeat this bill on the floor. Thank you.
You've heard your warning. Okay. Okay. Any other comments before we move on to the next bill? Thank you, committee. We will now move on to Senate Bill 25. Senate Bill 25 is a... a bill brought also by the Department of Education to repeal certain provisions related to tuition for students transferring from resident districts that do not receive state aid to education, and repeal certain provisions related to state aid to education for students transferring from a non-resident school district that does not receive state aid to education. So that's a long title with a lengthy explanation coming here. So, and the department will present it. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tammy Darnell with the Department of Education, and thank you for the opportunity to come forward and discuss this bill. I'm sure we'll have a very interesting discussion. Simply stated, this bill is just asking that we repeal two statutes that are currently on the books. That'd be 132849 and 131375. The reason that we're asking that these statutes be repealed are twofold. First of all, since these statutes went onto the book in 2001, to the best of our knowledge, they have never been followed. Secondly, what these statutes do, both of them, is they create a situation where the district that is serving the student is able to generate revenue for that student twice, which goes against the entire foundation of the state aid formula, which is equitable distribution of funding for students. That's the simple explanation. Now I'll try to show you really what happens. If I could have a page to distribute these handouts.
Sometime in your presentation, can you discuss the history of this a little bit so that, or someone from the department, so that you can...
Absolutely. I can do that right now. This,
thank you.
These statutes were brought forward during the 2001 legislative session. It was brought forward on behalf of a school district that was not receiving state aid at that time, and the taxpayers within that district felt that it was unfair that if a student that comes and is served by that district, and if they come from a district that is does receive state funding through the state aid formula, that they should not have to pay for that student, but that they should somehow receive compensation for that student. On the surface, it sounds like a logical explanation, but if you really think about it and think about the way the state aid funding formula works, it guarantees a certain amount of funding per student. Now, if this district that has enough local valuation to generate enough money to cover all of the cost of all those students they are serving, they are getting the per student allocation for that student that's coming over. So by the department having to pay state aid for them again, they would be generating revenue twice for that student. That's the history of the bill. Hopefully this visual aid will help a little bit more. If you look at side one, you'll see we have District A, which is a district that does not receive state aid, and we have District B, which is a district that receives funding through the state aid formula from the state. The student moves from District A to District B, they're counted in District B's fall enrollment, so they will receive funding from that student. In addition, the current statutes require that District A pay tuition to District B. So as you can see, District B has generated revenue for this student twice. Okay, now we'll go to the flip side, which is a little bit more confusing. In this situation, District A receive state aid, they receive funding from the Department of Education on top of what they can generate for local revenue because they don't generate up to the per student allocation. District B does not receive state aid because their local revenues generate enough to cover their need. The student leaves District A and goes to District B. District B has enough local effort to cover the cost of that student. If this student ever pushed them over that, again, because they're counted in the count and we look at that, if this student pushed them to the point where their local effort did not generate this year that 4804, they would then receive funding from the state for the formula because it's an equitable formula. However, under this situation, like I said, the student, District B, has the revenue to cover it. In addition, this statute says that the Department of Education must pay District B funding for that student. So again, District B has generated revenue twice for that student. I think the best thing will to be for me to stop there on the explanation and answer questions. I do want to let you know that there are only two districts in the state right now that are not receiving state funding, and actually one of those districts, Lee Deadwood, is the one that brought these statutes to my attention, and I have talked to the superintendent there, and he is supportive of this bill. So with that, I'll stand by for any questions.
All right. Could you give us a little history on the, is this the bill that was carried by Representative Hills here 2 or 3 years ago that was dealing with the Job Corps at NEMO? Is this, that at all?
No, this is not.
This is not tied to that?
Not at all. This was actually on behalf of Dakota Valley.
Okay.
And the very next year, they had enough students that they got to the point where they received state funding.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents? Proponents for Senate Bill 25. Are there any opponents? Any opponents to Senate Bill 25. Opponents? Hearing none, we'll close that phase and go to questions from the committee. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You said there are two school districts that fall under this. Do you know what, how many numbers that is and how much that's going to save us? I assume that it's in the governor's budget, but just curious how much money it would amounts to.
Again, as I stated at the beginning of my As I stated at the beginning, these statutes have not been followed. So it, there would be no fiscal impact to the state under this.
And could you also advise us as to the two districts that do not presently receive state aid?
Absolutely. That would be Lee, Deadwood, and Hill City. I can also tell you, too, I ran the numbers on those. And if, again, if these statutes were followed, it would be a net loss to these two districts because they are actually sending more students out than they are receiving in through open enrollment. So if these statutes would follow, they would have to pay more out to other districts than they would get back.
Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Sly.
I guess this is in probably, this is great for us as legislators. It's big. It shows us front and back the different changes. And,
Thank you, I appreciate
it because as a teacher, this helps me a lot, and I'm over 50 also. So. Thank you.
I have to thank Mary Static and Smith and her staff for that. They worked this up for me. So.
Thank you.
I guess another question. Can we use these on the floor?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Sorensen.
Probably just more in fun, but I didn't know that we had the choice of whether or not we could follow statutes in this state or not.
No problem.
Any other questions? Hearing none, we will close the question section and move into discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Representative Sly.
I move to pass.
Move do pass by Representative Sly, seconded by Representative Sorensen. Representative Sly, yes, for comments.
Thank you. I think this is a good piece of legislation, and it responds to the, like Lee Deadwood, who brought it to our attention, that sometimes these statutes are no longer relevant or needed. And in this particular case, I think it's in the best interest to pass this. Thank you.
Any other discussion or comments? Hearing none, the motion on the floor is do pass. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The secretary will call the roll.
Bolin?
Aye.
Bruner?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Bargan?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
McElroy?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Sorensen?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Bannerman excused. Van Gerpen?
Aye.
McLaughlin?
Aye.
14 ayes, 1 excused.
Any comments on the consent calendar? You want to move?
I'll move to consent.
Moved by Representative Fargan, seconded by Representative Schleckaway for the consent calendar. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, it will go on the consent calendar. As far as being prepared for any questions or discussions, Representative Sly, will you see that it's carried on the floor or handled on the floor for the and let's see who will do it. Be prepared for the Democrats, Representative Sorensen. Okay, anything else to come before the committee this morning? Moved by Representative Bruner, seconded by Representative Fargan.